Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the 23rd edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleefield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Remodeling, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, J.P. McKell Pest Management, Lapolis Electric, and Durante Reynolds. Now, don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. You can like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and please follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and you're welcome to it. It's Fran's World. And now here's your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, thank you, Jim. And I am here with a new engineer sitting in today, Noor. How are you, Noor?
Good, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, he's like, all right, I'm behind the scenes. Leave me behind the scenes here, please. Well, why all of a sudden are you sticking a mic in my face? All right, anyway, we are here at City Center where we love to be once a month, the last Friday of every month, and I have three fabulous guests for you, but first I want to catch up with what I've been doing, Jim, since last time. You know that I did a one-woman show that I put together called Love, Laughter, and Light. Mm-hmm. It was a 90-minute experience that we did at the Seven Angels Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Not far from me.
Right? And you know that I do stand-up comedy, so I mix my stand-up comedy with my wild adventures and motivation. And so I don't want to brag, but I'm very happy to say I was very pleased that I got a standing ovation.
Wonderful. So, I gave you a standing ovation from Connecticut, where I was.
That's true. Well, you were standing up just to say, do you want to sit down? No, okay. It was a little bit different. No, right. But no, it was just the energy at the Seven Angels Theater. I really love that place. I've been doing stand-up there for 19 years, but this was the first time that I did my one-woman show. And you know all the different crazy adventure things that I do, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so I've bungee cord jumped, scuba dive with sharks, flown combat aircrafts, had knives thrown at me, did the zero-G. You know, obviously hold four world records. How many world records? I forgot how many world records. Hold six world records. I hold snakes. I've performed in the DMZ zone. So I was talking about all that even when I got held up at gunpoint and I smacked the guy who was holding a gun. I mean, you don't know that story.
No, you never told me that.
No. The guy, to say the story in short form, I was working at a copy shop and I on Queens Boulevard. You know this. Are you familiar with Queens Boulevard, Jim? It's got like...
relatives who lived in Queens.
Oh, okay. So you know it's like a big lane highway, street. And I'm working at the copy shop. I'm by myself in the Left Rack building. And I see these two guys running across the street. And they come in and they're like, hey, can we get some business cards? So I turn around to get the business cards. I turn back and they've got a gun at my stomach. So the guys go, open up the drawer. So I open up the drawer and there's only $20 in it. And the guy goes, $20? I'm like, it's 5 cents a copy. What do you want me to tell you? And so the guy goes, but I can't believe it's only $20. I go, you should have robbed the bank. And the guy's going, are you arguing with me? I have a gun to your stomach. I'm like, what can I tell you? There's only 20 bucks here. So then I remembered that when you go to Dunkin' Donuts, the next time, you've been to Dunkin' Donuts, in between the two doors, they actually have like, you know, 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet. So if somebody robs a Dunkin' Donuts, as they run out, you could say that guy was 5 feet. Well, I didn't have that. So what I did was I kept looking at the guy, then looking at my bookcase, looking at the guy in the bookcase. He goes, what are you doing? And I didn't want to tell him I'm trying to measure your height so I can tell the police. So instead, I'm over there saying, I have an eye infliction and I can't help it. So then the guy's mad because he's only getting 20 bucks. And he goes to grab a necklace that I had on that my mom had made for me about stand-up comedy. And he goes to grab it. And I actually smacked the guy's hand.
Whoa.
And he's like, are you kidding me? I have a gun to your stomach. I'm like, hey, you're not going to get good street value off of that. And the guy's like, what are you talking about? So then he goes, go in the back room, because it was a back room. And he goes, if you come out before I count to 100, he goes, I'm going to shoot you. So I'm like, all right. I knew they were going to run away. And I go in the back room. And then I'm thinking, count to 100. I'm the world's fastest talker. That's not going to take me very long, right? So I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, oh, maybe not. And then I called the police. Police came in there, and they were like, I can't believe you smacked the guy's hand. Were you in on it? I go, am I in on it? For 20 bucks? What, are you kidding me? I'm not going to have 20 bucks. I would have known to rob
cheap
a bank.
Date, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? So anyway, so it's crazy stories like that that I tell. And when the police asked me why I wasn't upset, I said, because I'm not dead. And they kept saying, but why aren't you upset? I'm like, because I'm not dead. So basically, it's me telling these crazy type of stories at the Love, Laughter, and Light show and explaining to people to live in the now. Why would I cry about something that could have happened? It didn't happen, and I'm alive. So, and it's all stories like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, you didn't know that about me. Smacking people. Yeah,
yeah,
now you do. So, anyway, Jim, I'm going to start the show. We have three fantastic guests here. And my first guest grew up in Tennessee, came all the way from Tennessee so that you people could hear him. He lived in Memphis until he started high school when his family moved to Chattanooga. His enthusiasm for writing began in the third grade, and his passion grew so great that his high school teachers were forced to put a page limit on his assigned essays. Like, all right, Richard, enough, enough. Now don't keep writing 20, 30 pages. After a year at the University of Tennessee, he decided to move to Kentucky, where he majored in English, focusing on creative writing and film. While in Bowling Green, Kentucky, he also became a foster parent to a number of children. It was this that gave him both his inspiration and insight into writing specifically for children. So, Richard has created a series of books called The Bizarre Events at Hellman Elementary. Please welcome Richard M. Bourne. How are you, Richard?
Hi, friend. Doing excellent.
Good, good, good. So let me ask you first and foremost here. So you wrote about Hellman Elementary. Did you go to that school?
I did not. It is a totally made-up school.
Oh, okay, because I was like, I don't know. He's given a lot of details in this book. So now you've written two books with the premise being all these bizarre elements that happen at Hellman Elementary, and one was called Jurassic Field Trip, and the other one is The Nexus of Strange.
The Nexus of Strange is the first book in the series, and Jurassic Field Trip was the sequel the following year.
Oh, I wish I would have known that, because I read the other one first.
Oh. So
I did not know the sequence. But I notice that in the Jurassic Field Trip, which is the one that I read, you have these kids figuring out the mystery. It's almost like another version of a Nancy Drew, where they're figuring out the mysteries.
Most definitely.
But crazy things happen. So explain to our listeners, A, what was your motivation to write this, and when did you write the first book?
The first book I actually started writing in 2016. I started writing it because of my foster kids. I had stopped writing for a while, and they were like, well, you need to get back into this. This is wonderful. They were reading my stuff, and I was just like, you know, it's all good. And then one actually sent a manuscript out to an agent, and they were like, hey, this is actually really good.
Your foster kid did that?
Yes.
Wow. So they conspired to make you famous.
That's right.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love them for doing it because it got me back started into writing, and a lot of my fostering experiences are kind of in the book in some ways, like the gigantic spiders that hide behind the trash cans in the cafeteria comes straight from a story from one of my foster kids that they were terrified of spiders,
mm-hmm.
and he called me from school just crying, and I had to go over there to help him calm down. And when I got there, he's telling me it's like a 6-foot spider in his desk. And it turned out to be, you know, maybe a centimeter long.
Of
but
course,
he was
yeah.
freaked out. So,
in his mind, it was big. So, but then you took that and you put that as one of the elements at Hellman Elementary.
Yes, ma'am.
So what are the age of the foster kids?
The age of my foster kids, I actually took from age 2 until age 18.
Oh, wow, that's a pretty big range. But the kids in this, in the stories that you write about are, it seems like they're like 10, 11, 12.
10, 11, and 12, all elementary school kids.
Yeah, and so who would you say is the audience for these books?
The audience for these books is probably 3rd through 8th grade.
3rd through 8th grade, yeah.
Most definitely. But I've had younger read it and love it and beg to actually be in a book, so he will actually be in the next book.
Oh, that is so. Do you use their real names?
I do not.
Okay, I just didn't, because you're not using last names, so I didn't know if it would matter. So do they know who they are in the book?
They do.
Oh, that is great. So that's like two great elements. You're mixing not only your love for the foster kids, but you're immortalizing them in print by making them heroes in the book also.
Most definitely, I think so.
Yeah, that is awesome. So do you have the, like, because I'm a writer, I've written 21 books. So for me, it's a little different. I'm just curious with you. Do you have the entire story in your head prior to putting it on paper, or does it unfold as you write?
I start out with a beginning and an ending, and then the middle kind of unfolds as we go along.
That's interesting.
Especially like the third book coming out, when I was writing it, I had the ending in mind, but the middle was kind of a, you know, kind of a mystery to me. And I had what I wanted, and then I got to like chapter, I think it was 8, and was like, oh no, I really want to do it this way. And I was like, come on, let's change this up. This will be awesome. And it made it kind of to where you don't know who's good, who's bad,
right,
who the hero truly is. And
yeah, because that creates more of a mystery.
Exactly.
What's the name of your third book?
The third book is Temper Tantrums Aren't for Fifth Graders.
Temper Tantrums.
Temper Tantrums.
Oh, good. So we got a moral lesson happening in there, too,
most
as well.
Most definitely.
So now, all right, so we have these two books that are written so far, and I read the Jurassic Field Trip where Dylan was the hero in there. Does the other book, The Nexus of Strength, is it the same hero in each story?
It is not the same hero in each story. Each story follows a different student from the Hellman Elementary School.
Okay. All right. So I didn't know that. Okay. So, but all the books are with Page Publishing, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And had you found that publisher because your foster kid sent that out. So he's like your agent.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally,
so he
definitely
became your agent. Definitely. So, so another thing. Are you married?
I am not. I'm single.
Oh, wow. You took this on and you're single?
Yes.
Wow. So your kids are your family?
They are.
And how long ago did you decide to be a foster, you know, start with your first foster child?
Oh, it was about 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. So you've been doing it for a while.
Yes, and I've adopted now 2.
So. Oh, that's so sweet. What ages?
Luke is 14 and Christian is 13.
Oh, great. So we do a shout out to them. And also, I don't want to leave out, who's your dinosaur?
My dinosaur is an actor by the name of Jordan Allen, who he's been a great help to me in all the signings and everything. He comes out, he portrays characters for us. So it's a lot of fun at the signings when you come out and meet us. You get to meet some of the characters straight from the book.
Which was really cool, because when I came to the station today, all of a sudden I see Richard, but I see this dinosaur kid next to him. And I'm like, well, who's this kid? And he's like, no, he's one of my, he's an actor that I have with me. And so he's over there. We're here at City Center. And all of a sudden people start buying books from Richard because we got the dinosaur standing here. So that's a very good market employee. And congratulations. He's very good. And I see the two of you talking together. So we know what book is next. So we said that you're not married. Now, you write them, you think of the book. So you already have the, is the next one already written and it comes out in September, or you're in the process of?
The next one is in the editing phase. We were just waiting on a cover for the book, and it comes out in October.
Now, let me ask you, because I don't want to give the book away. I have to say, though, because you say the book is aimed towards a certain age group, I actually really enjoyed reading the books. So I was sitting there going, this is fun. I like this.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I could see the playfulness of it, but also the mystery involved, and I could definitely see how kids would like that, because kids like that type of stuff.
Exactly, and we also say it's fun for the whole family to
it
read
is.
Together. So.
It is, exactly. So maybe you have you'll do a reenactment of this, you know?
Most
all of a
definitely.
Sudden, yeah. You should, that's what you should do. You should. I'm going to come up with a new idea now. What you should do is you should find somebody who has like a haunted house. house. And you should say, make your haunted house look like Hellman Elementary. And people go through it, and you have the characters in there. And you could have people popping up during Halloween. Okay, that's it. I'll get a percentage of that. I'm only kidding. No, okay. So you have the books, you did them, and so are you, do you have in your mind, like, there's going to be a series of 20, there's going to be just three, or is it comes when it comes?
Right now, I'm contracted through the first 10.
Oh, really?
I already have in my mind books 4, 5, and 6. Done.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to be in one of your books. I'll be the nasty teacher that fast talks. No, I'm looking. Yeah, oh, we can't get her to shut up. Okay. And that'll be the curse. Anybody who talks, they get to hear me in their sleep. So where can people, are the books in bookstores? Where can people get these books?
The books are at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Any little bookstores should be able to order them. You can also order them on Amazon. So
if they order them on Amazon, so only when they come to your book signings do they get your autograph.
The autograph, that's right.
Okay. And do you put where your book signings are on your website? What's your website?
Yes. We actually have a Facebook.
Oh, okay.
You can get us at the Hellman Elementary Series.
The Hellman Elementary Series. Right?
Yes, and on Instagram, it's just Hellman Elementary.
Okay, so that's H-E-L-L-M-A-N, and if you don't know how to spell elementary, then you need to go back to school. Okay, so it's Hellman Elementary, and do you have another book signing coming up that anybody knows about?
We do. We will be at the Salt City Comic-Con in Syracuse, New York.
Comic-Con?
Yes.
What date is that?
That is July 6th and 7th.
July 6th and 7th. Say it again.
Salt City Comic-Con in Syracuse, New York, July 6th and 7th.
And so people would get tickets through Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, yep.
Okay, great. So you could check out Richard Bourne there, look at his books. His books are great. I'm telling you, I read it. It was a lot of fun. And I'm sure your friend's name again?
Jordan Allen.
And I'm sure Jordan Allen will be dressed either as one of the characters or in a dinosaur. He'll be doing something for you. So Richard, thank you very much. Much success with your book, Hellman Elementary. And we will be right back with more on Fran's World. Stay tuned if you want to find out about the...
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
And we're back. This is Fran's World, live at Westchester Talk Radio Broadcasting. We're broadcasting live from City Center, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Energy Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, J.P. McHale Pest Manager, Liposo Electric, Durante Rentals, and don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk Radio. At Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook, Westchester Talk Radio, and follow us on Instagram at Shark Creative. And also, you could go to FranCapo.com or to my Facebook, Fran Capo. Listen, I made it easy. If you know my name, you know where to go. All right. So we're going to continue along. Now, we have another. We just have fascinating guests here from all walks of life. Now, my next guest has many incarnations. He's a retired police officer, a commercial art photographer, and the author of 2 books, The Lunch, A Romance from a Man's Perspective, and They Speak Through Me. Messages from Beyond. And it's the subject of the second book we're going to concentrate. Because you see, Bob Buchanan is a call bearer. Now, I did not say Paul bearer. I said call bearer. C-A-U-L-B-E-A-R-E. He was born with a veil on his face, known as a birth veil, a sign of psychic abilities. At 13 months old, he heard his first voice from beyond. He understood from a very early age that he was different. By the time he was 8 years old, he began to see strong visions of the future, and often within 30 minutes of something about to happen. Not understanding exactly what was happening, Bob ignored them, thinking, it's simply his imagination. Eventually, though, through a series of events, he realized this was his calling, to help others with messages from the other side. Please welcome Bob Buchanan.
Hi, friend.
How are you, Bob? Good. So now, your first message here was at the age of 13 months old. Well, first, before that, please explain to the audience what a call bearer is, because not everybody is familiar with that term.
Yeah, it's a known term down south, but up here it's not.
Okay.
So I call medium, so people kind of understand. Call bearer means I was born with a veil, as you said. I have psychic abilities. I've always known things that are happening or that have happened more so. Like when I was 8, I was building a snow fort, and this is in the, way long ago, before computers. I was having visions of computers of today.
So you had a vision of a computer before there were ever these computers.
Before they were even.
So you didn't even know what that was.
No, probably somebody did, but nobody. It wasn't general public knowledge,
right?
Type of thing. Yep.
So now let me ask you. So how is a call bearer different than a medium?
Okay. What happens is when you go to mediums will get anywhere from 15, 20, 30, they call them spirits, I call them souls, it's just semantics. I get 1 to 5. I get those that are closest to us that are going to come with a message for you to help you get through whatever life situation you're in. It could be anything. It could be validation. It could be, I just don't. The only thing I tell people, I can't find your keys and I'm not going to find your boyfriend.
You probably have trouble finding your own keys, and you don't want a boyfriend. So
usually, if it's a boyfriend thing or a girlfriend, the answer is fix yourself first.
Right. Which people don't like to hear. Sometimes people don't want to necessarily hear answers that you might say.
I'm not here, and I tell them I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I tell you what the messages are, what they, the souls, want you to hear.
Right, because if you're just giving them lip service, then really, what does that do? And I'm sure. Listen. In any field, there's, charlatans, and in any field, there are true people. So, unfortunately, if you had 20 comics go on stage and all of them were bad, then people would go, comics are all bad. So you have to distinguish yourself out to let people know that you're giving them, hey, I'm not going to just tell you, hey, life is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. And on the other hand, people could say damaging things to somebody. And I've read your book, They Speak Through Me, Messages from Beyond. And I feel that one of your great qualities is that you've actually been able to turn around somebody who heard something from somebody else that they will give an example of a story, for example.
Well, first off, we don't have all the answers, okay?
Right.
And what I do, it might start out as where you are, but they're going to show us how to get through it, okay? And then I always question this. That's why I wrote the book, so I can really believe myself.
Right, exactly. You could wait. On page 47, I did say this, yeah.
And I was doing a session. I call them sessions, not readings, with a woman, but the one I can remember the best. And I was outside on my deck, and I was hearing a screaming way off in the woods. I live in kind of the woods. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a kid, so I told the woman to hold on a minute, checked. It wasn't a kid. I didn't know what it was. So the thing kept coming closer and closer. And then once we were finished, her husband, who had passed, who was with us, was a hunter. And she was getting rid of all his trophies. So she heard it, too. She asked, what was that? Screaming in the background. So I turned around because it was behind me. And I looked. It was a red fox sitting in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And you don't normally have red foxes just sitting in your backyard.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the first time ever. Okay.
Yeah, because that's a key. That's not, he's got a pet fox. No, this is something that never happened.
There's no pet foxes, no
right.
dens, nothing like that. So the woman says to me, she says, oh, I just sold his red fox. I said, he wants you to keep that red fox. So I'll see if I can get it back. We finished that conversation, and here's how you know it's a sign. The fox got up and quietly walked away.
So okay. It was crying up until the point that you got the message to her. Once she received the message and said, okay, I'll take care of that, the fox walked away.
Quietly. That's the key. The fox wasn't quiet until that point.
So he felt, so basically through the spirit, he felt satisfied.
Right.
So I read in your book that you actually get messages through some animal signs, like you had a hummingbird and there was a jaybird, and different animals have given you signs.
Yeah, what happens, I don't believe the souls take that form. I think they bring them to us. We've had cardinals.
As a messenger, you're saying.
Yeah, as a messenger. I had a session with a woman, and we had a cardinal singing way off in the distance, and her father was talking to me. He got closer and closer until he was literally right over our head singing. And then once we finished with the father, we didn't really finish, but somebody else came through. The cardinal flew off.
Wow. Now, here's the thing, guys, because obviously, when I have guests on the show, I always want to, you know, I didn't know Bob before. I had met him once, like, at the Yorktown Chamber or something, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And because it takes me long to clear out my email box, 5 years later, I'm like, hey, Bob, I got your email. So, which is true. It was something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what happened was I said, hey, could we do a reading when, you know, when you come on the show so that I could get a feel for what this would be like. And what was really fascinating, and this is when I was like, wow, Bob, that was like so dead on, was before we even did the reading, when we were talking about doing the reading, we weren't even doing the reading yet. Bob had said to me, hey, have you ever gone to, he was about to say, have you ever gone to a medium? And I was about to answer, yes, I went to, and he stopped me and said, wait, your dad has passed and he's got a message for you. Who's William? And the thing is, my son never uses his first name. And so I'm like, well, my dad wouldn't call him that. My dad calls him Spencer. He wouldn't call him William. And so he said, well, he has a message to tell him, congratulations. And I said, he goes, does it make sense to you? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he's working on something. So I called my son. I was like, Spence, does this make any sense to you? And he just said, yeah, I'm working on an app. And he just kind of poo-pooed it, not knowing that my son was surprising me. This was on a Friday that you and I spoke. That Monday, my husband and my son were in on this, and his fiance, and I did not know. And all of a sudden, they drive me. They tell me we're meeting with a client, and I go there, and my son is at Purchase College. For 2 years, secretly, he was getting his college degree, and the diploma said William on it, not his middle name. So I was like, oh my gosh, Bob saw that. I didn't even know what was happening. So to me, that was such validation. Now, did you get these voices while you were a police officer? Did it help you solve any of your cases?
Well, it helped me find things. Like one day I was walking on foot in a shopping center, and a bunch of guys ran into Dress Barn, stole a bunch of dresses, jumped in a car, and took off. So I put it out over the air. The communications didn't put it out. So I told them again, you know, what happened. And I told them, go to Annie Says on Central Avenue. And that's where they caught him. That
really?
Kind of stuff, yeah, happened all the time. But I still, at that point, I really didn't understand why I was, just knew these things.
And did they just believe you? Or did they say, how do you know? Or
no, they didn't ask any questions.
No, they were just like, oh, that's
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah. You know, they don't have time. Yeah, okay. Then with the next day, this how bad it was a cop. Next day was an order. I wasn't allowed to walk in that shopping center from the chief.
Next day what?
There was an order from the chief that I was no longer allowed to walk in that shopping center.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff we went through.
Wow, that's kind of weird. Now, the thing is, you had mentioned that you had these voices coming to you, and I've had voices come to me, too. I mean, we're talking about you today, but I know what you're talking about, where you can't distinguish whether the voice is male or female. It's kind of like a, how do you describe it?
The way it comes to me, I see it in a faded black and white movie, and it's like whispers, okay, more of a telepathy. So it is hard to determine whether it's a female or male voice, but it you know, I usually figure it out.
But wait, I thought you said in the book that whispers, when you're talking to someone, usually indicates that person might be trying to kill them, you know, commit suicide.
Oh, no, no, no. What you're talking about when I hear the soft voice.
The soft voice. Okay.
The medium, when I first decided to look into this, like, you know, right. 5 years ago, finally.
Right.
She said, listen to the soft voice first. That'll be the voice of God. This is definitely about spirituality. And I believe that God grants these gifts. And if yeah. he doesn't grant these gifts, they don't have it. Okay. So she said, listen to that voice. That's the voice you have to listen to first. Every time I've heard that soft voice, I can remember three situations that person was going to take their life.
And do you, had you intervene, obviously, or?
Yeah, I'll talk about Frankie. Frankie came to his mother, sent me. He was depressed, and she called me about him. She was a client, and I told him, yeah, Frankie's in a bad way. I think he's going to take his life. You got to get him some help, but you can send him to me, and let me see what I get. So he came. He's a tough guy, motorcycles and all that, mm-hmm. and he's leaning against his car in the parking lot where we met. And he's got this attitude, and I got in his face. I said, just like this, I don't remember much, but I do remember right. this. I said, I put my finger in his face. I said, you're sitting in your bedroom crying. You're going to your grandfather's grave. You want to be with him. You can't be with him. His face dramatically changed. He shook his head, yes,
yeah.
and that was it. And I got him through that. I mean,
and that was the end of the tough guy, because once you gave him something that you revealed, he was like, oh my gosh, this guy knows. How would he know that?
Yeah, that was 5 years ago. We're still friends today.
Wow, that's so awesome. That has to see. That has to be, I would imagine, your reward for doing this.
That is. This is very tough, Fran. I mean, it's a lot of anxiety, a lot of sadness when you've got people that are taught, when I'm talking to a woman whose mother passed when they were best friends mm-hmm. and they miss her, or children, you know, children are horrible, horrific, as you can well imagine. It takes a lot.
You know, there was one thing that you said in the book that was interesting. You said that the people on the other side are not sad because they're sad they passed. They're sad because the people on this side can't get over the pain. Not to say that you're not going to mourn them, but to say that they want you to go on.
Right. What they do, I don't do what I call funeral home speak, so right. I'm careful. But the way I explain it, everybody I get is in the light, so that means they're good people and in a good place. They become whole again. I've seen people dancing. I think something happened with you, too. Did it? With one of your relatives that came through?
Yeah.
They mm-hmm. show me, you know, dancing or something that you know that they're whole again. That's the way I do it. And then what we do is we go on from there, you know, to let them know that they're whole. There's no anger over there. I don't see any anger. I don't see any hate. They get past it.
Yeah.
You know, so they get past that, and they want us to know that they're in a good place. What they tell me all the time is don't mourn them. Celebrate our lives with them.
And that's cool, because that also releases them from guilt and for other things. Your messages are like guided by validations, right? That's what you're saying, healings, and you're given direction. The messages are uplifting and healing, and it's usually to the spirits trying to help that person get through something.
Exactly, get into a better place. I never know what I'm going to tell them, but it always ends up positive. It's up to them to follow what
And the cool thing, too, is I noticed where when you go to mediums or whatever, they're trying to pump information out of you, and then all of a sudden they'll make I see that you're with someone, but you actually don't want information from people. You tell them just yes or no, don't feed me information.
Right. I tell people when I go in, I don't want, when they call me or something, if you call me at cold, I say, okay, don't say anything. Before I interrupt them, don't say anything. Don't tell me why you want to talk to me. When we sit down, I ask them not to say anything, not to tell me why they want to talk to me. Any questions I ask is yes or no. Don't, you know, expand on that until we reach a certain point where I know I'm real and they know I'm real, because I'm somewhat of a skeptic, and I got to prove to myself every time I sit down with somebody that we get the real story.
But see, that I think that's healthy. It's just like a performer. We get scared before we go on stage. You know, you want to do a good show. You want to present good for the people that are there. So until you step on the stage and then everything starts working, then you relax into, you know, in my case, a performance, or you relax into the, you said you didn't call it a reading. What did you call it?
I call it a session.
Because
I realized long ago I wasn't reading anything.
Right, you weren't reading anything. And you also call it like a skylight. You can picture it that way. So, Bob, I know that you have people actually seeking you out from all over the country, Canada, Europe, to connect with you through the loved ones. If people listening today wanted to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you to have a session?
Well, they can text me, or they can call, or they can go to...
What's your website is?
My website is BobBCallMedium.com.
So that's Bob, B-O-B-B, another B. So B-O-B-B-C-A-U-L-M-E-D-I-U-M, BobCallMedium.com.
That's correct.
Okay, so, and also if you want to understand what's going on through his mind, you know, like as he's doing these readings, pick up a copy of his book, They Speak Through Me, Messages from Beyond. And where could they get that book?
They can get that on Amazon. It's both hard copy and ebook. They can go to my, I have a Facebook page, Bob's Books. They can order it there. It'll come through me.
Just Bob with an S or Bob?
It's Bob's.
B-O-B-S Books. B-O-O-K-S.
Yeah. On Facebook, if you, you can find that.
Great. Well, Bob, thank you very much. And I had a great time when I did your session. I keep telling everybody, I'm like, oh, I got to tell the story about the William. I got to tell him. So it just, and when I was at a Putnam Valley Network business meeting yesterday, I was telling somebody that I was having you on the show today. And I was, well, actually, all I said was, I'm going to have a call bearer on. She goes, oh, do you know Bob Buchanan? I'm like, that's the guy I'm having on. So you're obviously famous in this area. Okay. And probably around the world. But I just only know where I went yesterday that they said that. So I am so glad I found your email out of my 49,000 emails, and I texted you back. So.
There are no coincidences, friend. Things are made to be made to happen.
Great. That's exactly how I feel about life. No coincidences. God leads you down that path. You just have to be willing to walk through that door.
That's true.
So on that note, Bob Buchanan, check out his book, They Speak Through Me, Messages from Beyond, and you could go to his website, Bob, B-O-B-B, callmedium.com. This is Fran Capo. You're listening to Fran's World live at City Center on Westchester Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Fran's World on Westchester Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from City Center, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelift Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Lipolis Electric, Durante Rentals. Hey, we got a lot of sponsors. All right. And don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk and like us on Facebook. Well, you can like us in person too, but we need you to like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio and follow us on Instagram. Why? Because then you'll know what we're doing. But you could also go to FranCapo.com because then you'll also know what I'm doing. All right. So we're moving the show along. Now, so far we've talked to an author. Well, all of them are authors, actually, even my next guest. Talked to an author. We've talked to somebody who could talk to the people on the other side. And now we're going to talk to somebody who's going to tell you how to look good on this side. All right. So we have with us my next guest, Scarlett DeBe. Oh, you know, I should ask for the pronunciation of a last name.
DeBees.
Scarlett DeBees. I'm Italian and I don't know this.
Really
okay. Scarlett DeBees is a wardrobe stylist who shows women how to stop stressing about dressing. I like that logo. Stop stressing about dressing by creating outfits for them that can't wait to wear and be seen in, because you don't want to go in public and go, oh, why am I wearing this? She helps women stop stressing about dressing by showing them what and what not to wear, because, you know, both are key. No matter their shape, their size, their age, their budget, there are no limits. And it's she's known for transforming the lives of women who struggle with how to dress their bodies and lives they have now. She also has a book by the same name called, what, if you were listening, Stop Stressing About Dressing. Okay, you get it? She's got a motto here. All right, that book is available on Amazon. Okay, so with me is Scarlett. How are you, Scarlett?
Hello, Fran.
Okay. A little enthusiasm, right? That's what we always have to have here. So now, I need to know this. Were you always into fashion, or did you, like, look at another baby and go, man, that kid's got droopy diapers. What? That I can't be seen with that kid in that pen. What?
Well, it really started with, was it cloth or disposable diapers? That's really was the first thing.
Right,
I
exactly.
Noticed.
And yeah. then you had a chick. You probably put a little rose or something on it.
Yeah. So, really what happened was that I grew up with a mother who was really, really good about spending money wisely on clothes because she was a war baby. So she was really good about, you know, how to get value for your money. So I really learned a lot from that. And then I was in the cosmetic and fashion industry for a while, and then a friend dragged me to see a wardrobe stylist, image consultant, and
she dragged you for you to do it?
She dragged me to do it because she was going, and it was a two-for-one, so she wanted me to go for like support and split the ticket, really.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went, and it was like, it was mind-blowing because I learned all the reasons why I had things that I wasn't wearing but didn't know why.
You just didn't like for some reason?
I just didn't like for some reason, and now I knew the reasons why. And so I went home and tore out of my closet everything that didn't work for me because now I understood why. And then I knew when I went shopping what to look for. And that was a game changer for me. And then a few years later, I was like, you know, I could do this.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, you see somebody do it, you pick up the principles, and being Scarlett, you said, you know, you know what? They could do it. I could do it.
I can do it. And the reason is because I did have an eye, but I got a much better
eye.
Well,
you have eye. Two eyes.
I have two eyes.
Yeah, but yeah.
I got a third eye from this.
You have the third eye for fashion. That's the eye that we all need. Because the other two eyes we have, but that third eye, it's like, oh, lady, take that off. What are you wearing?
It's incredible. So that's how it sort of started.
So you didn't need to go to school for this. This was innate.
It was innate, but I did go to school.
For this?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you have the degree, so to speak.
I have a degree, right? You know, do you need it? No. Does it ever hurt to have an education? Absolutely not.
No.
So I went. I Googled everything I wanted to find out, and I found out there was a course at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology, in New York City, and I signed up and paid a lot of money and spent 6 days, like 9 to 5, every day in this classroom. And I learned everything. I learned all these tricks that they don't tell you, that you don't find in a magazine or on TV. And I learned how to run a business. It was incredible. It was great.
Well, you know, the cool thing, too, is that Scarlett also has a newsletter that she puts out with different tips each time. And one of the things was funny because Scarlett and I did a session. We'll call it a session. Is that what you call it? Okay, we did a session.
Virtual session.
A virtual session. So what she did first was she mailed me a questionnaire with required photos, and I had to fill out the blanks. You know, I had to learn how to dress without stress. So I had things on it like the eye color and the height and what I typically wear. And then she needed me to take pictures of, in a black top, in a dark brown, a light brown. So now, this gives you your template to work with for people?
Right, every single person is different. Hair color, eye color, skin color, eye color, teeth color, shape,
teeth
proportions.
Color.
Yeah, teeth. So if certain people, if you want their teeth to look whiter, certain colors will make the teeth look
whiter. Oh, wow, that's a really cool
trick. All these little things. And then once you learn that, you know, you look at yourself and you go, oh, no wonder I look.
Yeah, no wonder my teeth looked yellow.
I need to see a dentist. But, you know, or you can look like you have black circles when you don't have black circles if you wear the wrong color.
Wow.
You can look younger and older, you know.
Yeah, well, unless you're playing out for a part. I don't know anybody who wants to go with that older part.
Never a goal. No woman wants to look...
Can I look 20 years older, Scarlett? Yeah, no. Can you pick out the most frumpy thing I can wear?
I can make anybody look really old, yes.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, nobody wants to look sick, tired, or whiter than they are. mm-hmm. typically.
Right.
And I don't work with women who want to look whiter.
No, yeah.
So my specialty is women who want to get out of the house and stop hiding behind the computer. And so all these little things, like the eye color, the clothes that you wear and the colors next to your face, it make a huge difference. And until someone shows you, you don't realize it. And then when you realize it, it's like, uh-huh.
Well, so for example, when I was wearing the outfits, you know, when you told me to take the pictures, right? So I had I know my coloring. I'm olive skin. So you had said, we had talked that pastels look good on me, but to keep away, I think it was browns. See, here's the other cool thing. After you send all the pictures, she sends you, like, what would you call it, an analysis?
It's like a styling tip sheet, so you have it for reference.
Right, so she looks at all the pictures, but you also go to people's houses, right?
I do. I go to people's homes and do virtual. Virtual is people who are not in my area or are too mortified to have me come to their home.
Really? Yep. Okay, that might make sense.
Some women don't want me to see their closets.
Really? I have no problem with that. Yeah, I'll show you a whole picture.
It's a thing.
Okay, yeah, right. But I can imagine this would be... But you actually list on it, you know, the best colors to avoid, even jewelry colors to wear, and the necklines, which was very interesting. So let's talk about that necklines, for example, for a second. So I'm 5'2", mm-hmm. and you had said to me...
I said that you... With your shape, your face shape, and your proportions, you could actually wear both necklines, the or round neck, although I prefer the round a little bit more on you. Most women, it's either one or the other.
Okay.
And it's nothing to do with their height.
Oh, it is nothing to do with
the height. It has to do with the face shape.
Oh, okay. So, like, if you have an oval face or an egg shape or whatever.
Right. I'll give away one little secret. If you have a very round face or a double chin, or you think you have a double chin and you wear a round neckline, you're going to have a rounder face and more prominent double chin.
Then you'll have a triple chin.
Be worse.
It makes it even look worse. Now, do you do it just for women or you do it also for men?
I really work only with women. Occasionally men if it's the husbands of a client, but I specialize in working with women because a guy, come on, you know, you give him a pair of pants and a shirt and they fit, he's happy.
Yeah, Jim, you happy? Jim's happy. Jim's shaking his head. Nor, are you happy? Yeah, Nor's happy. Nor's actually wearing a suit, even though we're on radio. I don't know. He's obviously very into fashion. He just gave me, he was like, yeah, and what about it? Okay.
But I mean, guys don't understand what women struggle with. But for a woman, you know, we have.
Oh, there's so many different choices.
We have so many parts on our body. And and unfortunately, as we get older, they start to move in different directions.
Oh, I don't. Not me. I stand upside down.
Sometimes things go south. Sometimes things go east and west, and that's when they call me.
East and west. I like that. Yeah, that's true.
It's time.
But, you know, like things like I remember my mom teaching me, for example, like you don't want to wear stripes because they make you look wider.
Depends.
No, you don't want to wear Depends either. No, good. But no.
Unless they come in solid color.
That's right. If it's a cute little one with a rose on it, maybe you would. But the thing is, it's like, for example, when you're on TV, there are certain things you're not allowed to wear. They tell you traditionally, not whites, not blacks, not stripes, because of the way that the camera will pick up on the fuzziness.
It makes the screen look.
And no logos, obviously. But in my case, you had suggested wearing like a t-shirt underneath a jacket.
With your logo.
With my logo
Absolutely.
On it.
Absolutely. Because you are a brand.
Right.
So show it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, what are some other tips maybe that you
I was saying, like most of the women that I work with are over 40. And typically before 40, you're like, hey, I got it all together. Everything's fine. I don't need any help. And then all of a sudden you wake up and then things aren't in the same place they were the day before.
Yeah, your arms on the floor.
The arms, the stomach, the breasts, everything. You know, the chin, things just go. And it doesn't matter if you had children, doesn't matter if you diet, doesn't matter if you exercise. It just changes, okay? So I specialize in working with women who things have changed.
Okay.
And the ones that have been wearing the same clothes over and over or buying the same thing over and over and then literally will turn down invitations to events.
Oh, wow.
Because it's too stressful for them.
Because they don't want to look bad.
Because they don't know what to put on and they'd just rather not go. And I've had clients tell me they've turned down speaking gigs, they've turned down networking events and parties because they were too... I don't want to say traumatized, but stuck on trying to figure out what to put on.
Well, I mean, I think every woman has gone through this. Like, for example, I had to go to a wedding, you know, last week. And so, of course, I pulled out, like, my favorite dresses, 20 different dresses, this one. And my husband is just like, does this suit? I go, they're all black suits. What's right. to choose from? We just got to choose a tie. No wonder you get ready so easy.
So exciting.
Yeah, you got to, you know, put your makeup on. You got to right. get your hair right. right. You got to get the right shoes. But right. it's got to be the shoes that are comfortable while you're dancing. Right. Then you got to have that's the right. other shoes to walk right. to the event.
And God forbid it rains.
Yeah, well, oh, that's a whole other thing. My friend was laughing at me because I bought these things that look like giant plastic bags that you pull over on your shoes, your nice shoes, and she goes, you're really going to walk around with that? I said, it's better than getting the shoes messed up. She goes, well, walk around without shoes. I go, but what if I step in a puddle? Then I'm going to have no shoes, and what if there's glass?
The best thing to do is take another pair of shoes with you and change.
But well, that's true, but I hate carrying big pocketbooks, you know, and you have to carry those little delicate ones when you go to the wedding. Actually, I carry a big pocketbook. I don't care. I carry a pair of jeans. I put it on in the car. You know, I'm like, I'm good. We're done with the wedding. I'm good, you know?
It's over, thank God.
Yeah, and I'll take off my shoes at a wedding. Because sometimes shoes hurt. Men don't realize the stress that women have to go through.
But there are comfortable shoes that look good out there.
That's true. You showed me a couple.
I showed you a few, and there's a lot more because the designers are now feeling our pain.
Oh, yes. They're getting it. Because we forced them to wear those shoes.
Well, we should. We really should.
That's what you need to do. Make the guy walk around in those shoes. Right. Jim, I'm bringing my shoes next week. You got to walk around.
I mean, it's the same thing. Okay. You know, I think shoes were created and designed by the same men that invented the mammogram.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No,
let's squish
no
it and just...
That's right.
No and doubt. Then you're like going, yeah, see, they should have a mammogram machine when they check guys. You know, forget that cough thing. Put your thing in there and let's see how good you feel now. Yeah, okay. It's a family show. Yeah. And again... So again, and now you have a book. So is your book explain all the tips?
Okay, so here's the story. And the reason why we kind of like each other is because I do like to laugh, too.
Yes, okay. Yes.
And I think women take themselves way too seriously.
A lot of
women
do.
Too down on themselves about how they look and what to wear. So I created a book that has tons of tips, but with humor.
Great.
So, there's one chapter where I talk about, you know, control wear, like Spanx, and how when I put it on for the first time, I became a lava lamp because all I did was move it around.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I did. It's moving it around. So I don't wear that stuff. I wear clothes that fit me, and I don't need to have control stuff underneath.
And that's a key thing. Your recent newsletter actually talked about that, but you swore it wasn't because I sent you a picture of this. I took a picture of myself in capris because I was told I need to buy capris when I go to Italy because you can't wear short pants shorts in a church. So I brought these capris. They make me look like some farmer John. I don't know why I bought these. So I said, I'm going to show Scarlett a picture of me in these pants. All of a sudden, the next newsletter that comes out goes, don't buy capris just because they're in style. I'm like, man, was the picture that bad?
I'm psychic. No, I swear.
Oh, so you and Bob Buchanan, my previous guests, need to hook up together.
Yeah. I had that article in the queue. I had written it the week before. But the problem was that you listen to someone tell you, there is no must-have. And that's what makes me crazy about what goes on in the world now with women in clothing. There's no must-haves.
Right.
There's only what works for you.
And that's always what I've said to people. That's always what I've said to people. I'm like, okay, listen, you know, I like this. It looks good on me. Why do I have to wear that? I'm not the mini skirt type, but, you know, I'm not whatever type that they're doing.
Right.
No, but this is the in style. I don't care if it's, you know, what was the in style at one point? People having their pants hanging half down and their butts. I'm like, no, that's the plumber style.
I've
I'm not
seen
going
that once.
Into
I saw a woman bend down once to tie her child's shoe, and I'm still not over it.
Yeah, I mean,
10
it's
years
hard.
Ago. I'm
that's
traumatized.
You need spackle.
I was asking to fix my sink. It was awful.
I know. Some things you just can't erase in your memory, no matter how hard you try. You know. But so if somebody wanted to do a session with you, first of all, how long is a typical session?
It depends. I have different packages available. Somebody can have 2 hours. Typically, it's 4 hours.
Okay.
Whether it's virtual and in person. And you can find me at scarletimage.com.
So spell it. It's
S-C-A-R-L-E-T-T. image.com.
That's right.
And I'm Scarlett Image on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you like to laugh and learn, then you'd enjoy my stuff.
Yeah, so you could pick up a copy of her book, Stop Stressing About Dressing, or Instead, get the beautiful Scarlett to come to your house and go, no, no, take that diaper out of there. Get those capri pants. They're not going. And the thing is, you'll laugh a lot. Scarlett loves to laugh. We had such a fun time doing our session. Yeah. We were cracking up about everything. And obviously, I didn't stress about dressing till I came here today. And I went, ooh, she gave me all that advice. Am I wearing one of those shirts? I better look at my notes. And then I was like, all right, you know what? I'll tell her I didn't learn it yet. But I'm just wearing a T-shirt. It doesn't matter. Anyway, Scarlett, thank you so much.
Thank
and again,
you.
People could go to your website, which is scarlettimage.com, or pick up her book, Stop Stressing About Dressing. You are listening to Fran's World. We'll be back here next month at the end of July. On Friday, I'll be back with Jim. Nora will be on the beach in his suit, and Matt will probably be back. And again, you're listening to Fran's World. Check out francapo.com and go to westchestertalkradio.com. And please spread the word if you enjoy this. Speak to you soon. Have a great time till I speak to you next month.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too, and now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.